Welcome to Liberate Your People Pleaser. I am your host, Brenda Florida, certified life coach, and you might be a people pleaser if you sacrifice your needs or your wants or your feelings to benefit someone else, or you keep silent when something bothers you or upsets you, or you're super critical and feel like you're probably your own worst enemy. Well, here's what I've got in store for you for this podcast. First of all, there's nothing wrong with you and you don't need fixing. What we need to do is leverage the superpowers of being a people pleaser, because there are definite superpowers. You are super intuitive, I am sure. You have great powers of empathy, the ability to read a situation and know what's going on with people and those around you. So what we're going to do in each episode is talk about ways to disempower the parts of it that are diminishing and don't serve us anymore, and level up or empower all those superpowers. So join me in the next episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser. Welcome to episode 3 of Liberate Your People Pleaser. I'm certified life coach Brenda Florida, and today we're going to talk about what to me is really an epidemic of not enough. How many times have you thought, I'm not good enough at something, or I'm not smart enough to do something, or to ask for a promotion, or start your own business, or whatever it is? How many times have you felt that inner critical voice tell you in one way, shape, or form that you're not good enough? We all have. I mean, I don't know anybody who hasn't experienced this, which is why I call it an epidemic. I think that's an epidemic, because we are all good enough. We are all exactly as we should be. And while we can grow and learn and up level and improve, whatever word you want to use, I'm all about that, right? I mean, my biggest drive in life is growing to my own next level. When I'm coaching people, that's what we're doing, right? They're coming to me because they have some kind of a problem or some kind of situation that has created enough challenge or pain in their life that they want to figure out how to stop it and open up to some new level of self-expression, of being in the world, of seeing themselves, of how they're operating in, you know, at work, in their business, in their relationships, so that they can get out of that pain. And so not enough, every time we get that not enough, you're not good enough, you're not young enough, you're not, you know, or you're not old enough. I have a lot of clients who are, you know, very young, late teenagers or in their early 20s. And a lot of times their issue is they don't feel old enough, right? They feel like they're too young. And then, you know, you get people in middle age that feel like, oh, it's too late for that. I can't do that anymore. Or you get people who, and I felt this way for many years, I don't have a college degree. And so I felt like, well, I'm not educated enough, right? I don't have the right credentials for that. Maybe you feel like you're not connected enough. You don't know the right people, whatever it is. The story isn't true. There's somebody who has had more disadvantages in one way or the other than you have, and they have done what that thing is you want to do, right? So where does this not good enough come from? And today, what I really want to focus on is what's the cure for it, right? As people pleasers, it often comes from that trap of deferring or completely dismissing what it is we want and need so that we can make other people happy. So if the people that we're in relationship with want us to stay, like for myself, like sort of stay in my place, right, as a good Christian woman, and be submissive and do for others all the time and not express an opinion that was different than, you know, what my husband thought or what the church thought, you know, whatever. So super conforming, right? Be who I want you to be. That's the message that people pleasers end up getting from the people they're around. Just be who I want you to be. And as long as you'll do what I want you to do and be who I want you to be, then I will love you and give you some approval. Now, the people that are doing that are not necessarily doing that consciously with us, but that's what happens. We just attract that kind of person because we're willing to do that. So when we give up our willingness to sacrifice ourselves for the benefit of another person, then we have to find our own enoughness. We have to find an inner place that says, no, I'm good enough. I am good enough for a healthy, loving, supportive relationship. I am good enough for others to respond to my needs. I am good enough to ask for what I want. I am good enough to simply be my own authentic expression in the world. So to find that, we have to sort of unravel. I was talking about this in episode 2. That's just a word I like to use for this. We're unraveling these old habits and we're replacing them with something new. So the old habit is to drop into the diminishment of I'm not good enough. And the new habit is I am good enough. Now, wish it was that simple, but it's not quite, because as you know, if you, you know, probably have tried a lot of affirmations in your life, I know I have. And so when we're, you know, standing in the mirror saying, you know, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, I'm beautiful, but I'm feeling ugly, or I'm abundant, I'm abundant, I'm abundant, but my bank account is saying something different, that affirmation doesn't help. It doesn't really, like in neuroscience, it doesn't get past that frontal lobe where we take in logical, you know, information, but then our limbic brain, the feeling part of our brain, and the way that that sends signals and hormones and stuff into our body, so we have a feeling sensation in our body, it doesn't get past that. So I can say I'm abundant, I'm abundant, I'm abundant all I want, but it's only an intellectual process. When I truly feel abundant, when I unravel that thread of scarcity and lack, which is, you know, the flip side of abundance, it doesn't matter what my checking account is. I can say, I can have that frontal lobe logical, I'm abundant, that will take its way back to my limbic brain and down into my body where I feel abundant, whether I have a lot of money in the bank or not. Because we all know with money, you know, there are people who feel wealthy with $5 and there are people who feel poor with 5 million, right? It's just that it's never enough. There's plenty of people with lots of money who still don't feel safe and secure. They still don't feel abundant because, you know, they need more. They need another million. If I had another million, then I would feel safe and abundant. But, you know, that just keeps moving forward because we're not really in a feeling state of abundance. So we can't get there. So it's the same kind of way with not enough. I can't just say, I'm enough, I'm enough, I'm enough. And then boom, I am. We have to really unravel it and replace it with something that we can come to that includes a feeling state. It's not just something mental we're going to play in our mind. I'm smart enough, I'm smart enough, I'm smart enough. It's a feeling of, oh yeah, I am smart enough. Like I just nailed that. Okay. So I want you to think of a time where you had that kind of experience where, like, mentally and emotionally, and you can feel it in your whole body, you have that confidence, right? Something that you did, something that you said, a way you showed up in the world one time, it doesn't matter what it is. but you have that, like, it's like a full body yes, you know, that you get from that. So we need to take the diminishment that comes with not enough, right? Like, so now you can think about a time where you had that, oh, fuck, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not savvy enough, I'm not, you know, anything enough, tall enough, skinny enough, short enough, whatever it is, to do that, and you feel that diminishment, right? Because it's also not just a thought, it's a feeling that sends this chemical reaction into your body of diminishment, or maybe even as deep as despair. I'll share a story where this happened to me that is just, you know, was really a turning point for me in my life on this very specific not good enough thought. I was in Southern California, I was in San Diego, and I was in a very transitional part of my life. I've had a lot of transitions in my life. I've moved a lot. I've ended two marriages and one other relationship. I've had four children. I've changed jobs a lot. My kids, you know, are now grown. So I did the empty nest thing. So my life has been one full of transitions. So this was a transitional time for me. And professionally, I wasn't doing as well as I wanted to. So financially, I wasn't doing as well as I wanted to. And I was really discouraged. And I can remember sitting in my car, remember exactly where I was on a street. I just pulled over because I was really upset. And I just, the thought that kept rolling through my head was, I'm just not good enough to do this. And that this was my have a successful business and really make the kind of money I wanted to be making. And, but by then I was a coach. And so I had coached myself and enough other people that once that really came to my mind in a really conscious way, I was like, wait a minute, let's not do this again. Okay. So I made myself go through this process of unraveling, and I'm going to share it with you. And that is, I just asked myself the simple question, is that true? Like in a super, totally true, no ifs, ands, or buts, only yes or no. Is that true? I'm not good enough to have a successful business. And right away, I admit, all sort, like every failure I've ever had in my life came to mind, right? Because that's the way the mind works. The mind is always wanting to prove itself right. It doesn't care what it's saying, right? Or thinking, so to speak. It's going to find that proof to prove it right. So I'm thinking of every failure I've ever had, you know, not just business. Let's not stop there. Let's talk about the relationships. Let's, you know, and so I'm thinking about all these failures. This is like, yep, not good enough. I am not good enough. Oh my gosh, I'm such a failure. I'm such a loser, right? And then I was like, no, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I know how this goes. And I just made myself kind of slow down. And that's an important part of the process. Slow down, because your mind has been quickly proving that thought right for a long time. Okay. So it's like a habit. The same way you go in your bathroom, you see your toothbrush, you pick it up, you brush your teeth, right? In the morning, you're not getting up, going in your bathroom, wondering, what do I do with that thing? What is that? And what should I do with it? You know, it's just a habit. You don't even think about it consciously. So these thoughts that you've had, whether it's a not good enough thought or in any kind of critical limiting thought that you've had over and over, it just comes, and then right away it comes with the evidence that seems like it's proof of that. Okay. So in order to start unraveling it, we've got to slow it down. And so I just sort of made myself just take a few breaths there in the car. I was like, no, wait a minute, really? Am I not good enough to have a successful business? And somewhere there, I just stayed with that enough to let that cycle in my brain of that pattern, you're not good enough, and here's the reasons why. I interrupted that pattern, basically. And sometimes we interrupt a pattern with shock, but like scaring yourself out of it. But sometimes we interrupt a pattern with silence, where I'm taking a conscious intention of, I'm not going to buy that litany of evidence that I'm not good enough. I'm not listening to you. You go take a nap. I'm going to stay over here and really let my heart think about it. Sometimes I even do this. I'll even think about, like, get my attention off of my brain, literally, like inside my head. You know, I'm focusing, I'm putting my attention not on my brain, but on my heart. And so I'm kind of, and I'll do just like I'm doing here. If you're watching this on video, I've closed my eyes, and I will close my eyes and I'll put all my attention on my heart, and I'll ask myself that question. Is it true I'm not good enough to have a successful business? And then what I remembered was the time when I was about 35 years old, and I was getting divorced for the first time. Now, my husband had been the breadwinner for our family. I had never made very much money. I came from a mindset of, you know, that's not something I'm good at. That's something men are supposed to do, make money. I'm supposed to be home, you know, making cookies and tending to the children. So like the idea of being the breadwinner for my family was something I never in my wildest dreams thought I would do. And so when I needed to be, I really was not prepared for that. And, you know, emotionally, physically, or professionally, but I went to my boss. I told him, you know, he knew I was going through a divorce. He knew I had four children. He knew how much he paid me. And I just said, you know, I love working for you, but I can't keep living on this salary. And I know you can't afford, you know, a 30% pay increase so I can support my family by myself. But I'm coming to you because I want your help. Like, help me think of, and I was thinking a second job. And he was very well connected. So I'm thinking he's going to know somebody that I can get a part-time job with and keep working for him. You know, was really what I was thinking. And he suggested to me that I approach the owners of the real estate office that we both worked in and propose that I become the first full-time sales manager of that office. Now, that to me was like my dream job, like such a dream job, I didn't dare think of it. Okay. So when he said that, it stopped me dead in my tracks. I was just like, oh my gosh, do you think, you know, I could do that? I would love that. And he said, yes. Like, the only way I'm willing to lose you as my employee is to gain you as my manager. And so I did exactly that. And I approached the owners of the company completely out of the blue. I mean, they had no idea. And, you know, pitched this idea that, and they'd never done that. They'd never paid a salary to a person to be a manager, you know, so it was very out of the box. And I did it, and they said yes. And I was supporting my family, you know, within, you know, a matter of about 6 weeks from when this whole idea came up. And I, you know, talked to the guy I was working for. And so I was like, oh yeah, there was that, you know, and that had been like 20 years had passed. So since then, I had had a number of other significant successes in my professional career and as an entrepreneur. And so by finding that evidence, right? So now I'm proving the point that I am good enough. And that's what begins to unravel the habit. And the more you do it, and the faster you can catch it, right? The faster you realize you're not enough, and the faster then you can pull yourself into, wait a minute, you know, litany of reasons why it's true, I'm not enough. Is that really true? You know, going into your heart, because it's not true. It never is. My life coach, trainer, mentor is Martha Beck. I'm a Martha Beck certified coach. And Martha said one time, you know, the truth is never stressful, and stress is never the truth. And I'm telling you, I have put this to the test in many a difficult situation. And when I'm stressed, when I'm feeling that stress of, oh my gosh, I am not good enough to have my own business and be a success. And that's what I'm doing. I was running my own business, trying to be a success. That's very stressful. So now I've gotten so much faster at, wait a minute, this is really stressful to me. I don't think it's the truth. It's not the absolute only truth. Sure, I've also had some business failures, but that doesn't have to define me, right? We all see, you know, business is a great example, an easy example of people who have succeeded and failed and succeeded and failed and succeeded and failed, right? You just keep getting up and doing it again. And we can see that in all sorts of areas of life. So for me, this process, and I want you to, you know, have this so you can make it your own, is to slow this down, get in your heart, put your attention on your heart, and really ask, you know, yourself that sincere question, is it absolutely true? And I think you're going to feel that it's not. And then turn it to that opposite. I do deserve, I am good enough, whatever words resonate with you, but the opposite of that diminishing statement, I am good enough to have a successful business. Then start writing down, and I think writing down is very helpful in this. Use a journal or whatever you want to do, but write down the reasons why that's true. Like, what's the evidence that you have? Somebody, maybe it's not something you've done. Like I told you a story of another professional success I had. Maybe it's not something you've done, but you've seen other people do it. And so that makes you know, you know what? No, this is possible. This person did it. Oh, and here's another person who did it. And they had even more hardships than, you know, or obstacles, however you think of it, than I do. And, you know, start to build that case so you can go from that habit of the diminishing thought and all the evidence to prove it's true to an empowering thought and all the evidence there is to prove that that is true. So that to me is the cure for this epidemic we have of not, you know, feeling good enough for things. And so I can't wait to hear how this is for you and if you're willing to try it, right? And if it seems too impossible, if it seems too much like, no, this one, Brenda, you just don't know me and this one's really true, then I challenge you to reach out to me privately. Send me a message, send me an email, brenda@brendaflorida.com. Put a comment in to contact you or something, because I want to help you dig your way out of that. Because whatever is stressful is not the truth. It's not 100% the truth. And no, and you know, there's no other possibility. I promise you that that is the case. There's always a possibility. So I love you. Thank you so much for being here. And I'll see you in the next episode as we continue to liberate our people pleasers. All right. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser. Hey, I've got three more things for you. One is join my private Facebook group, Liberate Your People Pleaser. We have lots of great conversations. I do Facebook Lives in there, drop in free resources, all kinds of cool things to support you in your journey to liberate your people pleaser. So the link for that is in the show notes. Second, I would love it if you would put a 5-star review on whatever podcast service that you found the podcast on. That would be totally awesome. And I'll give you a shout out on a future episode. And last but not least, if you've got a question you would like for me to answer or address, you'll also find a link in the show notes to do that. So submit your question and you'll hear me talk about it on a future episode of Liberate Your People Pleaser. I'll see you in the next episode, everyone. Bye-bye.